I want to read the passage that we're dealing with over these several weeks from Matthew, starting at verse number 7 in chapter 6. When you're praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Father, we ask that you'd help us to understand your word this morning and gain not only new insight, but new power for living. We pray that your Spirit would come, the same Spirit who caused Matthew to record these words, the Spirit that motivated Jesus to say these words. And will now come to us and empower us. In Jesus' name, amen. Give us today our daily bread. There's a word there that's translated daily. It's a Greek word, epiousios. Epiousios. The interesting thing about that word is the only time that word is ever found any place. Not just in the New Testament, in all of the Greek writings. There was a time a few years ago when they thought they found that word on a shopping list. And it was connected to all the different things that had to be purchased that day that couldn't be stored. Well, in recent years, they've discovered that that was not the case. And so it didn't have to do with the shopping list. Although it actually fits in the context of what this prayer is about. Sometimes it's translated, give us today the bread of tomorrow. In other words, give us today that which we're going to need not only for today, but also for tomorrow. Sometimes it's translated, give us sufficient for the day. I'm not sure exactly which of those it is, but no matter what way you come at it, you kind of get the idea that what Jesus is saying is every day we are to come to the Father to ask Him for some things. And those things have to do with the necessities of life. Our faith is not some kind of otherworldly trip into fantasy land. It's not a faith that has to do with living floating 3 inches above the ground. It has to do with the nitty-gritty realities of life. It has to do with jobs. It has to do with finances. It has to do with food. It has to do with clothing. Everything about Christianity is earthy. And this part of the prayer in particular calls us to that and reminds us that that's part of what it means to be in relationship with the Father. And so daily we pray in such a way that we are reminded that life itself, as well as the nitty-gritty stuff of life, comes to us as a gift of God. As I said last week, this is another example of a declaration of dependence. It's very easy for us, living in the most affluent country of the world, to live as if we don't need to depend upon God for everything. We assume certain things, that there is going to be bread. We assume that there is going to be a house, that there is going to be a job. We just take it for granted. And we actually say, if that's not there, then there's somebody to blame. Something's wrong. Well, the vast majority of people who have ever lived on the face of this earth, understand that life is a gift. And we live it day by day. We live it day to day. Because we don't know what's happening. What's going to take place next? I was watching television last night and I saw a commercial. You know these commercials for Las Vegas? Have you seen those commercials? You know what happens in Vegas, stays in Vegas, that kind of thing. Well, this one had to do with two bubbles that were floating above the houses, and they were talking to each other about going to Las Vegas and the excitement that they would have when they went there and so on. And then all of a sudden, one bubble popped. And the other bubble says, Barbara? And that bubble pops. It's not the point of the commercial, but I thought to myself as I watched it, life is fragile, like a bubble. We don't know what each day holds. Jesus, in his life, has bread as a theme that runs through everything, beginning to end. I was thinking back about the feeding of the 5,000, which in the Gospel of John, the feeding of the 5,000 takes the place of the communion meal. It's in the context of the feeding of the 5,000 that Jesus talks about himself being the bread of life, the bread that comes from heaven. It's in the feeding of the 5,000 that people become aware, the disciples become aware, that there's a problem. They're out in a lonely place. They don't have a lot of resources. There's no nearby 7-Eleven. And so they come to Jesus. And Jesus responds to them when they say they're hungry. He says to them, you give them something to eat. Now, I'm sure that if I was sitting in the place of one of the disciples at that point, I would say, what? Like, where is that going to happen? How is that going to happen? What can I do? But then Jesus proceeds to have compassion on 5,000 men, probably 8,000 people, 9,000 people total. Has them sit down in small groups on grass, takes what's the little that's there, the loaves and the fishes, and actually multiplies that to feed those hungry people. I think that tells us some things, both about God, the Father, and about ourselves. It tells us that God is concerned and compassionate about the needs of people. And that he is going to do something about that. I think secondly, it tells us that he expects us to be a part of the process of that doing. So what Jesus does in that feeding, plus all the other experiences of bread, is he takes that thing which is the most mundane of life. Something that Jack can bring here in a bag that he gets at a grocery store and then hands it out to kids and then has the kids launch those to you. As mundane as that, and he says, God will meet you in the midst of the most mundane necessities of life. And so he takes that which is mundane and he turns it into something that is incredibly sacred. God takes that which is ordinary and mundane and he turns it into a sacrament that is sacred. Not just at this table, but at all tables. Wherever we break bread together. So part of praying, give us today our daily bread, is not just for the bread itself. It's not just praying for survival. It's also praying that we would know the presence of God in our midst, day in and day out. Another thing that struck me is this is one more example of what I talked about a few weeks ago, that little word, hour. Whenever we break bread together, or even if we are eating alone, it's our bread. Somebody prepared the ground. Somebody planted the seed. Somebody nurtured. Somebody harvested. Somebody ground it. Somebody took it and delivered it. Somebody mixed it together. Somebody baked it. In our case, normally somebody packaged it, delivered it to a supermarket. Somebody sold it to you. So every time we eat bread, we are talking about the reality of the community of life, that we don't live life alone. In fact, we never eat bread alone. Every time we eat, we are eating with the community of the world. Our daily bread. Again, I go back to that word epiousios. I think one thing that we could say is maybe what we should be praying is, give us sufficient for the day. Maybe that's what epiousios means. Maybe what we should be praying is, Lord, help us to be satisfied with enough. How much is enough? Again, I think it's a reminder that we live communally. Our bread is not only not eaten alone, but our bread is not to be hoarded. Bread is a gift of God, and like any gift of God, it spoils when we don't share it. St. Basil the Great, 4th century bishop of Caesarea, said this, "Nothing we have is ours alone. The bread that is spoiling in your house belongs to the hungry. The shoes that are mildewing under your bed belong to those who have none. The clothes stored away in your trunk belong to those who are naked. The money that depreciates in your treasury belongs to the poor." If that was true in Caesarea in the 4th century, how much more is that true today in 21st century America? Give us this day our daily bread. That prayer is connected to what we prayed before. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's intention for his people is to have enough. And God's intention for his people is to share so that others have enough. So I would suggest that every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we ought to be praying it with a little bit of a sidelong glance, a sideways glance, to recognize that even when we're eating alone, there are others at the table with us. Would you pray with me together the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.